Thank you very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's a Friday afternoon, the next to last Friday before Christmas, which has absolutely no relevance whatsoever, but I thought I'd bring it up. Andrea Haines is in the studio. She's the editor for Blue Sky Innovation and comes by each week. A little bit later in the program, Wayne Larrivee will be here. Wayne, of course, the voice of the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers, and I guess it's been like 16 seasons now. Before that, he was the voice of the Bears, and I worked with him for several years as that. And I ran into Wayne over the summer, and we were talking about leadership on the field and how team leadership could maybe be translated to business. So I want to talk about that with Wayne. And turns out the Packers are playing the Bears on Sunday. Might be a little chilly, so we'll kick that around too. Tom Gilmore comes by, and Ty Fainer. Also, he is one of the guys behind LOL Illinois trying to shame the politicians into a budget deal. So all that coming up on the Business Lunch. We start with Andrea Haines. Andrea, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. I was so excited to read the Google results of their search results, right, for the year. They do it every year at this time, and they break it down by national numbers and local. And when it came to the top, I think they called it news story, for the year, the number one search was Copa America, which I just think is such an interesting eye-opener for those of us who would have never believed that was true.
Yeah, totally agree. It's one of those, you know, of course, your mind tends to go to the Cubs.
Right.
But in fact, this hugely searched story was Copa America, which is a soccer tournament that took place in Chicago this year.
It did, and it took place in a huge storm. I don't know if you remember it. They were delayed it for hours. I think they ended up finishing it, but it's kind of an interesting thing because you think that you know where you are, and times are changing and attitudes are changing. And Copa America was the top news search here, but that was that necessarily the number one search overall?
That's right. Yeah, so they do break out news separately. The number one search overall was Powerball. There was a massive Powerball prize earlier this year.
Early in the year.
Yes, early in the year. So it does some, as we were discussing, some of these seem like a distant memory sometimes, but there was a massive Powerball prize early in the year that really wound up dominating search. And that was building up even in the end of 2015 as that prize got bigger and bigger. So Google said that was actually a big search, you know, going into the end of 2015 as well.
So we started the year with that, and no one really eclipsed it. How did the Cubs do? I really thought the Cubs would be number one.
I know the Cubs did well, but they were number two behind Powerball. And in 2015, they had been number one. So I guess maybe striving is even more exciting than achieving, it sounds like.
Or maybe in 2015, it was for a lot of people, who are these Cubs?
Maybe.
And by 2016, they knew. By 2016, they were saying, who are these Cleveland Indians, right? Because the Indians did pretty well nationally.
Yeah. And this year, you know, I guess maybe you didn't have to Google it, right? It was just all right there in front
of
you.
Right, exactly. Prince was number three for Chicago overall.
Yeah, Prince, again, you know, depending on your feeling of time. But yes, this year, Prince passed away.
And again, that was pretty early in the year. Right? It was April, I think.
Spring.
That's pretty much the... The other thing I wanted to mention that you guys wrote about the fact that six Cubs were in the top trending sports players nationwide, right?
That's right.
Had Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, David Ross, Aroldis Chapman, Addison Russell, Jake Arrieta, all were leading. So if the Cubs didn't lead overall, they had certainly did individually.
Plenty of attention there.
And so now you're here to tell me what will be the number one Google search of 2017.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Do you think the Cubs will be out there again?
No.
Quick answer there, right?
Well, I mean, I think it does speak to a little bit the fact that what's known is known. It's unknown is what we don't know. It's the unknown known.
Yep.
I was just doing my Donald Rumsfeld there.
Things early in the year may gain more traction just because they have more time to be searched. So we might have to have our eye on something that happens earlier in the year.
Okay, so we've got that. I don't know. I bet we are not. I think what we would have never predicted Copa America last year at this time. We might have predicted the Cubs. Maybe would have predicted Powerball, but I bet it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, agreed.
I love this story about, too, there was an event at the Chicago History Museum. The Chicago Innovation Awards had an Innovation for the Ages panel discussion. When you think of an entrepreneur, picture that person in your head. I bet a lot of you pictured a young man, maybe some of the more forward-thinking pictured a young woman. But I bet very few people pictured an old man or an old woman, and they make up pretty big numbers.
That's true. There are a lot of people in their 50s and 60s, and the Innovation Awards is noticing maybe those people aren't getting all the attention like some of the young companies get. And they held this event, and we had a reporter attend that and also talk to a bunch of other people to just get some numbers behind that. They found that you know, 40 is actually a great age for an entrepreneur. There's definitely older people doing it. I think in some cases that's driven by necessity because people may lose their job and then decide to go out on their own and start a business. And there's some interesting, you know, advantages to that because I think your mind is in a different place. You have plenty of experience to bring to it.
There's a wisdom.
You may have learned. There's a wisdom. You've learned different sides of the business. There's also a hazard that a money person reminded us of, that it's not a great age as you start getting up there to lose a lot of money on something.
Right, right.
So they sort of preach caution in terms of how much money you might be investing in a new venture.
And that's why then if you're even older than that and sort of retired, that's a good time if as long as you're not putting your own money in, right? Because you've got the wisdom, experience, and the time
exactly
to sort of pursue something.
And, you know, people are living longer. There's decades, perhaps, after your main career ends and when you actually are completely going to retire. So there's a lot of time to fill there and a lot of knowledge and experience in that age group.
And speaking of people getting older and living longer, I love the story you've got in there of Ed Phillips. He's a 72-year-old guy, and he started a business. It's not a high-tech business, not all that innovative, but a business called Rent-A-Son.
Kind of cracked me up, especially again given his own age.
Yeah, he's 72.
Rent-A-Son, you're not renting an 18-year-old son. You're renting someone, though, who can take care of you, really, in ways that you need. It's primarily a transportation business, but he was also finding that people needed help, you know, maybe getting to and from doctor's appointments, so he's offering a little extra help with that.
Taking notes at the doctor's office.
Exactly. Sort of helping people that might not have somebody to sit there with them and take them back and forth, and he's doing that for them as a business.
If you're 72 years old, you've got the time, and it's certainly a job you can handle. Good for him.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur there. Speaking of entrepreneurs in the area, Marcus Lemonis is one who gets a lot of play. He's got a TV show.
The Prophet. Hosts CNBC's The Prophet,
and,
popular show about entrepreneurs.
Camping World, right?
Is the CEO of Camping World, exactly.
That's nice. They've got those billboards up. All they have to put up, Camping World.
Yeah.
And now he's going into the coffee business?
He is. So Beautrust Coffee, which I'm sure many people have heard of, or maybe not, but it's an independent coffee roaster and small chain in Chicago. They have now been basically bought out by Marcus Lemonis. So he will be running the show there. He's hoping to expand with more stores and also add new products, it sounds like, because he's collaborating with some of his other businesses. So it'll be interesting to see where he takes
what kind of
company.
Products do you think there might be?
You know, like chocolates, things like that, it sounds like.
Okay. Yeah, and he said the Beautrust is really looks like it's poised for scale. And that's
It has a sophisticated environment. It has popularity. It's had some problems on the business side between the founder and investors who have kind of been squabbling with each other. So this maybe gives it a fresh start.
How is Marcus Lemonis's record? Is it pretty good?
You know, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes a lot of deals. You know, there's never going to be 100% on that, but... You know, I think there's some chance here that he can bring it to a different level.
All right. Well, maybe next month or so I'll be drinking Beautrust coffee my business lunch.
Maybe get it in the green room.
Yes. There you go for you.
I'll come 5 minutes earlier.
Andrea Haynes from Blue Sky Innovation. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It's 12:22. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand here. Thanks very much for tuning in today. I would hope you will follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand, or I got a couple of Facebook pages. Actually, my Christmas plan over the break is to change my Facebook page a little bit so it's more public and more people can get on. But you can sign on right now at Steve Bertrand Travel on Facebook. That's available. Tom Gimbel is here. He is the man behind the LaSalle Networks and joins us most weeks on Friday. Tom, welcome back to the Business
Lunch. Good to be here. I follow you on Twitter and Facebook.
Do you? Thank you very much.
Of course.
I appreciate that. I follow you as well because I'm always learning about the wonderful world of business from you.
I do the best I can.
Tell me first about the LaSalle Networks. Where can people find more information?
So you can go to our website at LaSalleNetwork.com, and you can follow us at LaSalle Network, and my Twitter is at Tom Gimbel, now that the Cubs tweets have died down. So it's purely more of a business focus now. And, you know, we are a staffing and recruiting firm doing work all over the country, but predominantly in Chicago.
So here we are at the holidays, and a lot of people get, you know, seasonal jobs, holiday jobs now. But I think, you know, it's like, well, people aren't going to buy houses. People are focusing on Christmas, and it might be a tough time to find a job. But you're here to argue that there might actually be some benefits to going for a job this year.
I'm a contrarian. So my belief is that if everybody thinks that it slows down at the holidays, then go faster.
Well, are businesses hiring?
Absolutely.
I mean, at this time of year?
Never has somebody said, I don't want to meet good people at a certain time of year. right? So there is always a sense of, if companies are on a calendar year, which the majority of companies are, then budgets open up January 1 and they're ready to go.
Okay.
And if they're not, then they're mid-year and they're on a June 30th or a March 31st, and they still need people. Now, the challenge exists that if people are on Christmas vacation or if they're taking time off, but there's always somebody in the shop doing something.
You argue, too, that might actually be a benefit because you've got fewer of the naysayers or the gatekeepers filtering you out.
It may not move as fast, right? You may not get an offer right away, but you can get in there and meet somebody, whether it's an entry-level, mid-level, or senior-level person, and get on their calendar because there's not as many people.
Right, not as many people.
Absolutely.
And holiday parties are a good opportunity?
Yeah, network. So if whatever industry you're in, whatever your vertical is, find out where the holiday parties are. Find out. I mean, I was invited to 4 of our clients' holiday parties. And so was my staff. It wasn't a CEO thing, right? So we have staff. Go to different events. If a friend of yours has a plus one and they're not in a relationship, go as the plus one. Meet people. There's opportunity that exists.
You're looking at me because I didn't go to your holiday
party. You never come to my holiday party.
I really should, too. Right. I mean, that's what I should be doing.
You should.
That's what we're talking about.
Right, well.
Isn't it?
Well, you work for, world's greatest newspaper.
I know, but
sans the...
Aside from that, though, that is kind of, I'm like, I'm just not a party guy. And well, this is where I should be doing those things.
Well, I think it's different, right? Because we aren't in your vertical and expanding the relationship and things like that.
But who knows who I might run into.
Which is always a possibility, right? If the general manager of a competitive station were there, that might be, or somebody's husband, wife, sister, brother. So that there is that thing. And the goal is, I think, the more you get out and expand your horizons and understanding of different industries, the more valuable everybody is to what they're doing.
I mean, I really have learned that in the past few years doing this travel thing.
Yeah.
That you have to be open to have conversations with people and just, be present in those conversations and recognize that. And you're not going to get opportunities if you don't meet new people.
Well, and all joking aside, you could come to my holiday party, somebody else's, and meet somebody who's great for your show.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of things, and it goes in, and you're not looking for a job. The people that are looking for a job, you need to start doing it before you actually need
the job. Let's talk then about the seasonal workers, because the companies who, when they're trying to hire seasonal workers, always talk about the percentage of those who get full-time jobs. And it looks like sometimes it's pretty good.
Yes.
And so if you're in a seasonal job, you should be working right now to try to get that as a permanent job.
If that's what you want.
And not if you're not what you
want. Yeah, if you just want a seasonal job to make an extra $400 or $500 to pay for your Christmas presents or a trip or whatever it is, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for something, I've seen a lot of people that say, I'm going to check ego at the door. I've got my job at Home Depot or Starbucks or whatever the seasonal work is, and I'm enjoying it. Who knows where it goes?
Sure. All right, let me ask you this. I have a daughter who's driving home from Dayton right now, and as soon as she gets out of the car, I'm going to ask her about her internship this summer.
Yep.
And tell her that this is maybe a good time to pursue things. Is it or is it not?
No, I think it most definitely is. I think
because
it's changed.
It's the same situation, though. People are or are not in the office.
We see a lot of people, and you can get in, especially people. The internships for summers are starting. It used to be spring break.
Right.
Now it's Christmas vacation. And you may not get the offer. However, if you can come in and meet with people, just practice. Even if you're meeting with a junior person, you got to get on the train. You got to put on a suit.
Right,
you got to
right.
come down. It's practice, and we all need it.
Tom Gimbel from the LaSalle Networks. You can see more at LaSalleNetwork.com, the CEO and founder. Thanks for coming by.
Happy holidays.
We'll see you next week, hopefully.
Yes, most definitely.
Thanks very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and with that music, it could only mean Wayne Larrabee's on a phone line. Wayne Larrabee, welcome to the Business Lunch. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. It's nice to talk to you. We don't talk as often as we probably should. You know what? I was going through your bio to just look at the career, and I didn't realize you've been with the Packers now almost twice as long as you were with the Chicago Bears. Is that right? No, that can't be right.
No, not quite. Your math is off a little bit, but then you were a journalist major,
right, exactly.
Not a math major. I was with the Bears 14 years, and this is my 18th season doing the Packers.
Okay, and well, we all know that I'm not even going to make you say that. So the game is coming up on Sunday. I want to talk to you about leadership and all of that, but they're talking about it might be the coldest starting game in Chicago history, probably not for the Packers, but how do you prepare for that?
Me?
I mean, are the windows going to be open?
Well, I think they have to be at Soldier Field.
Okay.
But, it is going to be kind of a It's always a little more difficult when it's like that. You know, it's funny because everything seems to happen in slow motion, even your eyesight and your the way your mouth works. It gets everything slows down in cold weather like that. But we'll get through it. It'll be interesting. You know, the last time I remember a real bad game at Soldier Field was the 2007 season. Right. The Packers were on their way to a 13-3 year, and they were heading to the NFC Championship eventually. Brett Favre was the quarterback in his last year with the Packers. I guarantee you the wind chill was probably worse that day. I don't know what the temperature was, it was, I guess, in the single digits, but the wind had to be howling at about 25 miles an hour.
I don't know if
and
you remember.
Soldier Field was nasty.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but when I was working with you and the Bears, we were in Cincinnati for a game, and it was so cold, at, I think it was Riverfront then, that the toilets in the press level all were frozen for the game. Do you remember that?
I remember that game very clearly. You know, Bears and Bengals, it's the coldest. Somebody asked me this morning, what's the coldest game you've ever done? And I said, that was the one where I was the coldest. Remember that old stadium now was a baseball stadium.
Oh, it was awful.
It was whipping around in it, and it was all cement. And we couldn't find enough newspaper or cardboard to stand on. And my feet were so cold. I'll never forget that. You know, of all the times I've been skiing and everything else, I've never been that cold in my life.
Yeah, that was a cold, cold, unpleasant day. They lost that game, too, as I recall. All right, so the reason I wanted to talk to you is, you know, and I mentioned this with you this summer. You told me once we were doing a game. It was the Bears-Packers, in fact. You were calling for the Bears, and Reggie White was largely silent through, I think, 3.5 quarters of the game. And then halfway through the fourth, he made a definitive game-changing play. And you said from time to time when I was with you that, you know, that the impact players can be quiet all game long, but the real leaders step up when they need to. And I just want you to expound on that a little bit. I mean, was that a Reggie White thing, or do you see that with leadership on the football field?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, leadership manifests itself in many different ways. And Reggie may have been having a great impact on the Packers that day without making a play. And then when the time was right, he made the play. I think timing is everything in terms of great leaders. They have a sense for it. It's not something you learn in a classroom. It's not something you can be lectured about. It's something that happens naturally. And in that day, he made a play toward the end. Like you said, he hadn't done much all day, but all of a sudden, there he was with the game on the line. And that's the big factor. But I do think, Steve, leadership, you know, it manifests itself to those of us on the outside looking in at moments like that. But leadership is an everyday thing. It's not just a Sunday thing. Not just a one play thing. It's an everyday thing. The way you conduct yourself, the way you run your life, the way you interact with others on your team, that's what leadership is all about.
And, you know, here in Chicago, they talked a lot this year about David Ross and the Cubs. And so it kind of begs the question of leading out front or maybe leading from behind, or maybe it's what you're talking about is more like just a quiet leadership, just a leadership by example.
Yeah, I think there's more of that than the rah-rah stuff. I mean, we all in the media focus in on the guys making noise because, you know, that's really the stuff you put on the news and it's tangible. But I think the real leaders on teams, and you'll find, are the guys that are kind of working through example. And that's how they impact their teammates. And the things that happen when the locker room is closed to the media, those are the moments that, you know, the real leaders step up.
I don't suspect that a leader ever declares himself or herself a leader either.
Not a good one, no. Not a true leader. They don't need to. They don't have to do that. It's a given. And, you know, the other thing, Steve, that people wonder about in sports, it's a little bit different in sports. You know, you really have, in order to lead, you have to be on the field. And you have to be performing well, because there is definitely a pecking order. For example, last year when Jordy Nelson went out in training camp with that injury, people were saying, well, Jordy will be around the team. He'll lead. He'll lead from within on the team. And he was around all year, but you can't lead that way. You can cheerlead. You can say, hey, that's a great play, or this, that. You can offer advice, but you can't lead unless you're in the fray.
Okay, let's go away from the field a little bit and look at the organization as a whole. Is there, because they're leaders at every level, I suspect. I mean, so Aaron Rodgers isn't the leader of the Green Bay Packers as an organization. You've got the GM, you've got ownership and all of that, right? So within that, you've got different sort of strata or levels of leadership, and I guess it's the guy at the top who's got to figure out how to handle all of that.
It is, and a familiar name to Chicago people, and that would be Mark Murphy, the former athletic director at Northwestern. He's the president and CEO of the Packers, and And that's where it starts. The culture was put in place by Bob Harlan, the previous president and CEO of the Packers, who basically turned this franchise around, you know, from a historic but moribund franchise into the team that it is, or franchise that it is today.
It used
over
to be
the last 25 years.
Down here in Chicago, it used to be a franchise we could count on
for
a couple of wins every year.
Not anymore.
No, not we still can count on them, but not for the same thing. The so looking back on your career and the players that you've seen, is there one player that stands out as maybe the best leader you've been around or seen play?
Oh, Michael Jordan, without exception. And you know, here's the other thing, Steve, about leaders. Leaders are not the favorite people in an organization. Real leaders. They're the people who ask us to do things we don't think we can do, ask us, demand that we do things we don't want to do. They're the guys who kick you in the butt when things are down and you know, try to get you back on track. And we don't like that. I'm not a leader. I don't like doing that stuff. I don't want to do that. But every organization needs somebody to do that. And for the Bulls, Michael Jordan was that guy. If you were to poll the Bulls of that era, I guarantee you, by private ballot, Michael would not be the most beloved teammate. That would fall to Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, that's an excellent
Michael
point.
Michael Jordan was the most respected, and he was the guy that drove them to championships.
All right, let's go back to the Packers one time, because I know you have a book out this fall, right? If these walls could talk, the Green Bay Packers, stories from the Green Bay Packer sideline, locker room and press box, from Wayne Larrabee. All right, so what do people pick up from that book?
Well, you know, a lot of the inside stuff about just my observation from where I've sat and watching the Packers since 1999. And we talk a lot about the personalities and the great personalities like Brett Favre. And obviously, you go to Aaron Rodgers and several other people involved. But the different twists and turns, you know, this has been the most successful 25 years in the history of the Green Bay Packers franchise. But there have been a lot of ups and downs. You know, there was... 4th and 26 in Philadelphia. There was, you know, the NFC Championship game lost to the Giants at overtime. Then there was the incredible Super Bowl run. There was another championship game that ended in disappointment at Seattle. So a lot of the ups and downs of the franchise, I've always said, if you stay somewhere long enough, you'll see the good and the bad. And certainly that was the case in Chicago for me when I came in 85 when the Bears were winning it all, to when I left and under Dave Wanstead, they were barely going for it.
But so do you write about going into Fuzzy Thurston's bar with Dan Hampton? Because that's a night I'll never forget.
No, that's in the next book. That's all in the next book. This book's about the Packers. The next book I can't wait to write because that will
that will
we'll
begin your
back everything on that.
That'll begin your retirement.
Yes.
If these walls...
I'll have to be away from this business by the time I write that.
Name of the book, If These Walls Could Talk, Green Bay Packers, stories from Wayne Larrabee. Wayne, great to catch up with you. Have a great game on Sunday, and I hope you... I wish you continued success.
Thank you very much, Steve. Great to talk with you. Happy holidays to you and all the wonderful people and listeners. WGN is a special place and always will be in my life.
Wayne Larrabee. All right, we'll talk soon. Well, 1252, this is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Joey Gelman is producing today, and that's a big deal because he's missing the holiday party upstairs. So thanks for that. Ty Fainer is on a phone line. He is the president of the Civic Committee of the Commercial Club, and he's one of the guys behind those billboards you might have seen, the LOL Illinois and other advertising. Mr. Fainer, welcome to the Business Lunch. Thanks for talking today.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, so it is December 16th. What, the stopgap bill expires at the end of the year, so we're looking at 15 days from now. What's going to happen?
Well, what's going to happen is that a lot of people will be injured because we don't have a budget, haven't had one for over a year, and the stopgap budget will run. And so, by way of example, a number of seniors – they get meal delivery to help them out. That'll cease. We've already had to close. They say they've had to close a number of battered women's shelters. All the sorts of things that go to support the people least able to take care of themselves will continue to be cut off or be reduced greatly because we don't have a budget.
All right. So, you know, and I want to talk to you about the LOL campaign and all of that, but. Here's the thing that I just don't get yet. People just aren't that angry. I mean, people should be, rising up. They should be making their voices heard. And I know they are on your Facebook page and elsewhere, but in general, there just isn't quite this fervor to get something done. I don't quite understand that. Do you?
I have difficulty understanding it as well. It could be more that they don't know quite how to express themselves, which is what LOL is about. So they can communicate directly with the governor, the legislative leaders, their own representatives. But, you know, it's more than the budget or the stopgap or lack of it. We've been losing population. We've been driving jobs out of the state
right.
because it's so unpredictable. But I don't know why people don't get more upset about it and make themselves known. So that's what we're trying to encourage them to do.
Oh, this is a business show, and I know that the governor says his changes would be good for business in Illinois. The Madigan and the others say there are other issues there, and that's fine. Let's put that aside. But I've had others say that the standoff and the inability to do anything is actually doing more damage to business in Illinois than it would be if one side or the other got everything they wanted.
Well, that's absolutely true, because the business leaders, members of the Civic Committee, the Commercial Club, people listening to your program are more rattled by instability and lack of predictability, which is why they go to Wisconsin or Indiana. These are small businesses in particular.
Sure.
But the thing I'd like to point out is they haven't really gotten down to what the issues are. The governor and the speaker in particular, both very credible, highly successful, important, and I believe basically good people, don't communicate. They won't talk to one another. They have, if they have meetings at all, they don't amount to anything, and they walk away. They talk to their staffs.
You know, it's interesting that you refer to them as basically good people, because I don't think that's something that they're willing to say about each other publicly.
Well, they won't. Then they do talk privately. You know, it's not a big secret that they meet privately from time to time, but that their public face is very different. And right now, with all the bad things going on around Christmas and end of the year and this terrible weather, you know, they go their separate ways and aren't communicating at all. So that's not satisfactory.
All right. Tell me about LOL Illinois, because I love the idea. And I was on the website. It's a wonderful website. I was looking at it today, where people who are angry, maybe they can have a voice in one way or another.
Well, the idea first is to get people to pay attention and say, you know, what's this about? What does LOL stand for? You know, and it's been land of Lincoln, lots of luck, land of losers, depending on who people look at it. But the whole thing is the website, if you plug into LOL Illinois, provides you who your legislator is, and you can communicate directly to them, telling them what's going wrong with the state, how you're personally affected, how the most in you are being affected, what happens to all the people that rely on government funding. And by the way, it's our money that they're not allocating. We pay these taxes and we fund all this, and they're just not governing. We want them to govern.
You're leading the Civic Committee. Are you guys taking a side on this?
No, we're not taking a side. Each of the members have, you know, their own view of who is responsible, but this is not about anything other than having a budget and communicating and governing. There will be a time when we'll take a side, but right now, anything we would say would be staked out one against the other. We don't want to do that. We just want they need to sit down and do what the people elected them to do, and ignoring each other is not the answer.
All right, let's end where we started then. At the end of the year, do you think there will be, A, another stopgap, B, a budget, or C, neither?
I don't know. All I know is that they're doing nothing affirmatively, and we will probably be talking about this between now and the 2018 elections.
You come back anytime. Ty Fainter, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for hearing me. Thank you.
Bet. That's going to wrap things up for the Business Lunch on this Friday afternoon. Thanks very much for tuning in. I appreciate that. I got a couple days coming off next week, and probably you do too, in anticipation of the holidays, but I'll be back later in the week. Bill and Wendy just around the corner for their part two of their show. I guess today it's part one, because we heard the Christmas Carol, the live Christmas Carol, earlier this morning.